Well, hello guys. So my name is Regina Ye, and this is the first episode of my podcast. I want to just talk about, I've been trying to find a medium to express myself, and I think I'll just dabble with a few and see how things go. And I know podcast is getting very, very popular now, but you know what? We're still gonna, I'm kind of jumping on the bandwagon too late, I think. I still think it's something that's worth a shot. So I don't know if you can hear the background noise. So basically where I am right now is that I'm in my Boston apartment, and there's just this train, the B-line, right outside my window. So I can hear it, and I like to keep the window open during the day, so there's fresh air and stuff, but then that also means you'll be able to hear sound from outside. Hopefully it's background noise that you won't hear. I don't even know what this podcast is going to be named. I think I wrote down a few ideas, but by the time you're listening to this, I think you will know already. So the idea of naming it The Durian Show is that not everybody is supposed to like everything, right? Durian is this kind of smelly fruit from tropical places. A lot of them, I think, originally from like Southeast Asia. And growing up, I love eating them. And I remember for a few of my birthdays, my mom would just buy a durian for me. And we would just eat that instead of a birthday cake or along with a birthday cake, because that's how much I like it. And it was a little expensive at first for like where... So there were a few years when my parents were doing their business, and then they were going through ups and downs. So when I was a kid, a few years, we were kind of in a debt situation where my parents actually had to really be very smart with the money they were spending. They've always been very smart with the money, like the way they spend money, but those few years they were especially like careful with how they were spending money, because I just knew that we kind of fucked up one thing, so now we have to really focus on the money trajectory. Getting durian, which is this slightly expensive fruit, it's a lot more expensive than a lot of the other fruits you would get. It's like apples or pears. So it was always like a very exciting thing for me, and it's so nutritious. It's just a big deal. So that made me happy. And the idea is that durian is a fruit that it's supposed to be very smelly. I like the smell, but it's generally considered smelly. People don't like it on board, like buses, trains, things like that. So also, another thing about durians is that if you eat it, you're supposed to like the flavor a lot. Like if you eat durian, it tastes delicious. I think so. But the general opinion on durians is that people either love it or hate it. There is not much middle ground in between. It's just a very special fruit. And I think that's kind of what I think of, like what people think of me, or sort of what I think this podcast would be. It's just going to be a very, little stories throughout the whole process, and kind of sharing my personal journeys, and later on invite some guests also and just talk and be very upfront, be very blunt. And it could be, you know, like almost like a durian, where it's like you either love it or hate it, and then it's got its own signature, it's very unique. So that's what it is, and there's no strong theme tied up to it, because I think the way I look at it now is just we're still in the exploring stage. Also, I'm really open to hearing the feedbacks you guys have and what you think of the podcast as well. So there are a few topics I want to cover today, and I think I just go over them one by one. It's really weird kind of talking to myself, and I have this recording pen, the H1 Zoom handy recorder thing. I got it a long time ago when I thought I would become a real YouTuber, and I never really follow through that. That was like 2014 when I was doing, wow, that was 4 years ago. Yeah, that was 2014 when I was in New Mexico. I had these ideas, and honestly, all of these dreams just take longer than you think to realize them or just to take the first step. So I had this recorder. I think in today's standard, it's very outdated. Just looking at it, it's not a fancy machine. It seems like it's from like, it's from the old days, but I think it could be nice to use them again, and I would probably need to buy some new batteries. So right now I'm just using my iPhone. I've been like feeling a lot more reluctant to use my phone. I have this app in my phone that's called Moment. It counts the amount of time you spend on your phone every day, and it also shows you what apps you used most and kind of where you're spending those time. But in general, I'm getting just a lot more annoyed by my phone. I try to stay away from my phone as much as possible. I use it for business purposes mostly. At night, I communicate with manufacturers overseas because it's kind of flipped the time difference. And then during the day, I have business calls. And then also boy situations where I text things and then friends and stuff. But I try to like kind of limit the time I spend on my phone just because it's distracting. It's a lot of fragments throughout the day that you just don't really need it that much, and it kind of draws you away from doing those things that I think are more meaningful, like deep work. There are only honestly like three or four apps that I do check, and then I used to be very into Instagram, and that may be where a lot of you guys who are listening to this podcast are coming from, but I don't use it nearly as much anymore after graduation. I think I've just, it's graduation for me is kind of like a point where I was just like, whoa, like now I'm really an adult. I'm getting into the real world. It's not even that much to do with my age. I can't even drink legally in America yet, but it's just that feeling of, whoa, now like there's some real shit happening. Like you have real responsibilities now. You're supposed to be actually independent instead of fake independence. It was just a big moment for me. And all of a sudden, taking pretty Instagram photos, spending hours editing them, and then making sure the algorithm pushes it to the top, stopped becoming my priority. Graduation for me happened about a month ago. That's crazy. Yeah, about a month ago. So I actually did not go to my own commencement. I got the diploma through FedEx. They sent it to me via mail, and I opened it at the co-working space we're based out of on Newbury Street, Boston. And it was a really cool moment. I For a long time, I thought I would become a college dropout. I just felt like it's this sort of like weird feeling in the back of your head, like I would never get my diploma. College is not something that I would, it's something I would like to do, but I don't think I would actually be able to do it. And then that, when it finally became real, when I got the piece of paper, it just felt so real. And I was like, whoa, I guess now I'm a college graduate. And I had, like, it was all in Latin. I couldn't really read it, but I just saw my name. I saw the college name. I saw that the degree, what it was in and stuff, which is in computer science, by the way, if you're interested. It was just like, whoa. I was kind of impressed by myself in a really silly way, because honestly, I did not put that much effort into schoolwork, especially senior year and especially senior spring. I was really zooming out. I was ready to go. I was ready to move on to the next step. Also, some personal things happened that I couldn't wait to get out of there. So graduation, that was after I got back from a 2-week vacation in Costa Rica. Again, if you are following me on Instagram, which is at Regina, ZYE, so REGINAZYE, you will see a lot of Costa Rican photos. And I honestly didn't take that many photos compared to the vacation I used to take. Like when I went to Morocco, I took a ton of photos. I still haven't posted a lot of them, and I may never post a lot of them, similar to like Taylor Swift and the Red Album, if you know what I'm talking about. But I just never really posted those photos. And then Costa Rica, I was enjoying it by myself a lot. It was a solo trip. It started off as a solo trip, and it was my first time traveling solo by volition. My first time traveling solo was when I was 13. Like I was just in 8th grade, I think, or 7th grade, and I was in China at the time. And my dad asked me one day when I was in a classroom, like in some intense like test prep thing, and he was like, "Hey, I'm going to Beijing for a week. Do you want to come?" And I was like, "Wow, like dad, you're supposed to be talking to study, like not, you know, just not like distract me and tell me stop studying, go do this vacation thing with me a week before exam." And my mom's a physician, so it's very easy for me to get a medical leave if I want to. She would totally cooperate and tell the teachers, like, "Regina's just not feeling so well." And the teacher would be very relaxed about it too. So it wasn't that hard. Eventually, I think I did say yes. And I think my dad texted me a very long message, which I still remember to this day. He told me that, "Hey, I just don't want you to become one of those like caged chicken, sort of stuck in the system, another brick in the wall sort of kid. I want you to think on your own." And just sitting in the classroom all the time is not going to help. Like, you need real world experience. You're getting too much into the studying thing, pretty much. That's what he was saying. And I thought it was really cool. And something about what he was saying just seemed so rebellious and just like so out of place coming from a parent. But I said yes. I was like, why not adventure, right? Like, I've always wanted to go to Beijing. I hadn't been to Beijing at the time, but I had read a lot about like the Summer Palace, the Great Wall, the Forbidden City, and just how beautiful, like historical the city is. So I was like, okay, I would go, and I booked the ticket, and the next day I was there. That was really wild. So I was there for a day by myself. And, I was there for a day by myself, and my dad got there, and we spent a day or two together, I think, just wandering around the city. And then the next day he's like, oh, I gotta go, I have another trip, or like I have to fly home or something. So he left me some money, and kind of like I was staying in my uncle's place. The whole family is very nice, and but I never met them. I never knew I had that uncle. They were nice to me, but it just felt a little strange, right? Like I was staying at somebody else's place. My dad just left. Like I was just left by myself. He's like, yeah, I bought you a ticket 3 or 4 days later. Enjoy this time on your own. And I was like scared. I was 13, 12 at the time in a big ass city. Didn't know what was going on. And it's just like, okay, what am I supposed to do? And I think I just went along with it. I started looking up all these places I wanted to go to, and it's just like that first taste of freedom. I made plans, I studied the maps, and I talked to, like, made conversations with the taxi drivers, and eventually figured out, okay, so I can go here and there. And all these places are actually right next to each other, so I can do all of them on the same day. And it was also really nice too, because I was by myself. I had no agenda, no schedule, so I would just take a nap if I got tired from walking around that specific park in the morning. So I'd just like take a nap, and then the next day I would just walk around, you know, in the afternoon, the next corner, street corner, just hang out there. And it was so cool. I saw so many things that were just like amazing, like eye-opening, really. I just like, wow, like I was just on my own. And I think that was such a life-changing moment, and it was a great experience. And I remember going back, I was in the train, and I was writing things like notebooks in my journal, and I texted my dad, and he's like, this is a big deal. This is a big moment, remember it. And he's a very wise man. I think he realized at the time how important that moment was for me. Went back home, I went back to the school, and that's around right around the time we had the exam. And I actually got, like, I was doing better than my average performance in that exam. And I was so shocked. I almost came in first in the whole grade. I was really shocked. And I was just like, whoa, what's going on? And my dad's like, yeah, like sometimes when you're so into something, it's really, really nice to kind of switch brain. And then you come back to it, you have new insights, and you actually perform better. And that was such a powerful lesson for me. And I think I learned it in a very special way. So that was my first time traveling solo. But going back to Costa Rica, it was my second time traveling solo. So the first time my dad sort of set it up for me. Second time was just by myself. It was around graduation. Everybody wanted to go to Europe. I used to spend a lot of time in Europe. When I was slightly younger, I spent a lot of time in Berlin. I traveled a lot in Europe. Like, I went to Sweden, UK, Copenhagen, Italy, where else? France, all over, like Austria, Hungary. I've been to all of those places, so I was just not feeling like Europe. And also, I made a trip to China in April, so I was quite jet-lagged when I got back. And I just felt so exhausted. I didn't feel like going on another trip. So what I did was I just decided to go vertically. So I was thinking, well, either go north or go south. But then I was so tired of North America, like New England winters. So my college, my whole college was in Western Massachusetts. So that was very, very cold. We just came out of like a really long winter. It was snowing on May 1st. It was just so snowy. I just felt like I gotta get out of there. So I wanted to go somewhere warm. So the option kind of just, it was, you know, going south. So Puerto Rico, Costa Rica, Caribbean, all of those islands, Bermuda and all that. So I was thinking, well, go somewhere I haven't been, and then easy to explore, beautiful, have enough to explore for 2 weeks that I can just take my own time and not rush everything. And Costa Rica seemed like a logical choice. Also, safe enough for a girl my age to feel like I can relax and still feel safe. So overall, like, Costa Rica seemed like a good choice. People were speaking English, tourism is pretty developed there, it's like a safe country and all that. So I went there, and I went there by myself. None of my college friends wanted to go to Costa Rica with me. I was like, cool, but I just really wanted to go to Costa Rica, so I made that plan. The first week, it was pretty awesome. I de-stressed so much. I was reading and I was swimming, and first thing in the morning had amazing, delicious breakfast, and just chatting with like backpackers and people from all over the world. Super cool meeting a lot of like interesting people and seeing boys who are so tan, topless, walking around all the time. It was great. Honestly, beautiful. It was very relaxing. So after about 4 or 5 days, I started to feel empty. It was weird. Like, I miss being in action. I miss being busy. I just felt like I wanted to get back to working and studying and having things to do with my life instead of just relaxing 24/7 all the time. I remember towards the end of my trip, I was in a town called Puerto Viejo, and that's on the Caribbean side of Costa Rica. And we were on our way to a club, and we were all kind of tipsy and stuff. And I was looking up, I saw those stars, and I was like, these are beautiful. But I miss cities. I miss cities so much. I just miss the rhythm. I miss the very wide roads, busy traffic, stress, and all that. I like that. I think I don't know what to do with myself when things kind of slow down sometimes. And I like the rhythm of being active and being busy and doing things. And that's the same reason why I kind of dislike weekends and really like weekdays, because there's structure, there's action, there's movements. Everybody's out there doing stuff, and then weekends everyone just zooms out and like the world becomes empty. It's weird. So another thing about Costa Rica was that starting the fourth and fifth day when I was in Tamarindo, which is like people call it Tamagringo just because so many American tourists go there, and it looks like Cancun, it looks like Southern California, it looks like Florida, it looks like a typical American touristy town. And I got very allergic when I was there. I just started seeing all these red rashes coming on my skin, and I felt like I couldn't breathe, and I couldn't really isolate the source there just because there are so many more plants and bugs and just things that could cause that reaction in Costa Rica. So I met this really nice girl at the place I was staying, and she's from Montreal. So Mary, the girl, took me to a pharmacy and we got some medication, and that kind of calmed me down a little bit. But then from then on, for the rest of the trip, which was more than a week left at the time, I had to have three pills every day. When I ran out, I just felt like I couldn't do anything. And if I wanted to get a beer and have a drink and alcohol, which is a huge part of what those vacations were about for me, I couldn't, or I have to be very careful because the reactions will come back. And then say, for example, if I take one pill, usually it will last for 12 hours. If I drink and take those pills, it will come back like 4 hours early and I have to take another pill. I just wasn't sure. I'll just wait till it goes away. And that caused a little bit of like panic. And a slight panic in the back of my mind. After that, I think also I was excited to be back because that would be kind of a new start. I had just moved to Boston after the trip to Costa Rica. So I got here and unpacked my stuff the night I was back from Costa Rica. I made my bed and then I just fell asleep. Next day, I spent the whole day unpacking and trying to go find medication for the mosquito bites and the bombs and stuff. I just needed to treat them properly. I just looked outside my window. I remember thinking, wow, now it's real. I felt like I was thrown into the real world by myself, on my own. Nothing was scarier. I was very scared. I called my parents. I called my mentor. I have advisors from my company and they really provide a lot of help. And I also have a very strong support net group. Strong support network and group around me that I built throughout the years, and that these are really wise people that I go for advice and feedbacks and just kind of people that kind of help me check in from time to time and keep me on track. And they really gave me a lot of confidence and just preview of what a real adult life would look like, and also kind of just knowing that transition takes time, it's not going to be super easy and all that. That was really helpful as well. And ever since then, I have been working on Zure stuff. It's kind of, so for June, I think it's a really settling down period for us, and we have gotten quite a bit done, I think. And me personally, just feeling like now Boston feels like a more comfortable place that I can live here. I feel like I have friends here, have things to do when I slow down and know where to go for what, sort of just figuring things out piece by piece. That was really helpful. And I also had coffee with some alum and then just older people that really gave me a lot of feedbacks and guidance because I think that's important. Also, trying to keep in touch with my network from Western Massachusetts. Massachusetts, for those of you who don't know too well, it's very divided. Like Boston is in the western part of Massachusetts and it's more developed. It's got North Shore, South Shore, and all these like nice little suburbs surrounding it. And then there's Western Massachusetts, which is a lot more kind of like in the middle of nowhere, farmy, not as developed economically, and just not the same, right? Very different two parts of the state, but it's the same state. So I had spent some time in Western Massachusetts. I knew a lot of people there, but then so trying to kind of keep in touch with my friends from there, and mentors from there, that was really helpful as well. And overall, just kind of building up that balance, I think was a really key opponent to the whole adjustment period. And I really think it's important to have those mentors kind of, you know, you can call whenever you run into things, and they will actually give you very constructive, helpful, concrete feedbacks and advice because that's just important, right? So I surround myself with those. And I honestly, one of the biggest qualities I appreciate in these people is the honesty. I like it a lot when they kind of just call me out on my bullshit and see through that. It's really important to have those people because sometimes like you can even fool yourself, but then having people that you just can't fool and then know very clearly what's the priority for you and for the time being, that's huge. That's very valuable. And I think, yeah, that's why I feel very lucky about that. And it's really an interesting kind of thing to explore. So let's talk about Boston now. This is how I feel about Boston after about a month, roughly a month being here. My first impression of the city would be it's very, very nerdy. It's such a nerdy city that even people who look like they're a douchebag, like, you know, people who look like they're a bro or like super good-looking guys and girls, very fit and all that, they don't talk like they're douchebags. They're still like they're nerdy, like, you know, a very bro-ish kid who works in finance may be secretly writing a science fiction novel on the side. And girls who are very fit and good-looking, they wouldn't talk so, like in a certain way that New York girls would talk. They would talk in a way that, you know, very Bostonian-ish. Like, I think the thing with Boston is just because there's so many smart people around, you don't brag. It's not a very out there city. It's kind of like conservative. It's got traditions. It's got class. They hold themselves together. They don't express the emotions too strongly. Like, it's not like Latin America, where just everybody kind of like kisses on the cheeks and say how they feel. It's very nerdy and people love to read. It's very logical. And also, I think largely because of the student population here, so many students here, everybody's kind of like here for a reason that's beyond acting or wanting to get famous, where you see a lot more in LA and New York. Here, people want to get into law school, business school, go up in their career and explore business opportunities for a tech company, for like biotech, for medicine, like medical stuff, and then healthcare. That's a very like data, cybersecurity, and all that. That's like more common here. Brain is really valued here. Being smart is considered very sexy, which I think is an awesome thing. And you have a very big, like a huge amount of young professionals and just people in their 20s here. And because of those premises we talked about, nobody's here to act or sing or like, you know, going to Hollywood. They would go actually to Hollywood. So people here are kind of more for the brainy side of things. And really, I think it's awesome because it's like you meet people who are just smart, driven, and appreciate knowledge, appreciate the fact that you read and you think. The fact that there are all these 20-year-olds kind of spreading around the town,
I just think it's a very nice community. It feels nice because it's like you're running a marathon. There are people with you, running with you. It's you know, you don't necessarily know them personally, but just seeing them ahead of you a little bit, behind you a little bit, makes you feel like the goal is there. It's achievable, and that's huge for me at this point.
Okay, and I'm actually filming this on 4th of July, so it's very interesting. This is kind of midpoint of the day, so it's noon, and later on I have plans and go see fireworks and stuff, but also it's just so nice to have a day off. And I'm on this medication thing for about a few more days, and it, all together is 10 days, so I can't drink during these 10 days, and it's been interesting staying sober. Not that I'm like an alcoholic or whatever, but it's just like it kind of makes me realize how much time I can save and just free up in my life when I stop drinking. Like the amount of time, like, you know, you put into getting the liquor, drinking it, chilling with your friends, getting super drunk. Because if you drink, you're not going to drink a little bit, you drink a lot, right? And then finding food when you get drunk and feel hungry, and then hangover the next morning, and recovering from the hangover, and finding things that will help you get out of the hangover, and eating more food, and trying to work out to get that food, like the little fat away and all that, like that takes time. And then when I stop drinking, this time just comes back to me, and I have all this time in the world to do things. And also makes me realize how much of our socializing is kind of set up to evolve around those unhealthy stuff. Say if you really want to be frugal and save money and try to be financially independent, or just be more like aware. I'm trying to just realize where how I spend money. It's different. I think it's part of adulting. I just have to learn. So that's one habit I'm trying to form on my end. If you don't eat out as much, if you don't drink, if you don't go to bars. I also for Boston, they're very strict. I can't get into a lot of bars because I'm actually underage. Then you run out of options. Those are the most common thing. And if I stop drinking caffeine, like, which I feel like I've been getting plenty of sleep recently, I don't need that much coffee. It's honestly like you don't know what you're going to do if you go out. It's really crazy. For me, the Costa Rica trip, I came back with all those mosquito bites, and that kind of just, I wouldn't say it's a traumatic experience, but it's almost there. Okay, it's getting there. So I just felt very like it was too much of a vacation, too long. I just was ready to get back to work, to like a fast paced environment. I felt like my body, like physically, I wasn't feeling well. So that was kind of that. Like it didn't ruin vacation for me and traveling for me, but that did make me feel slightly jaded. That was also my 22nd or 23rd country. Of all the countries I've been to, I just feel like I've had my time. I need to kind of focus and just be more focused and stay in a place for a while. One thing that I keep thinking of that my high school German teacher taught me, Rick Dixon. It's funny, a lot of my like good professors and mentors, their names are Rick. So Rick from my high school, he was my German teacher. He was also my advisor in my junior year. And I remember one thing he told me was that Sitzfleisch, it's like a word from German. I haven't heard any German using the word, but that's how he explained to me that there's this saying in German where you need to stay focused for, you need to stay in a place for more than 2 years, like physically being in a place for more than 2 years to be able to establish anything that's meaningful, right? So more than 2 years is what you need to be, you need to just stick it out and then just go through those moments and the boring stuff, the ups and downs, and make those deep connections. And that's when you kind of like start seeing progress in real life. I was just so used to kind of being the first to say goodbye to people and being the first to kind of push people away, sort of that independence. And that's something that I thought was very interesting. So those things, we'll save the whole talk about that for next podcast, for the next episode. But just touching on that a little bit, that's just like an interesting thought. So I'm trying to really stick it out here, Boston, at least for this year, right? I was originally going to buy a ticket to Seattle, and that's not happening, so I decided not to go last minute and just kind of stay in Boston. It's really just about facing the fear, like, and dealing with it, really just facing it, confronting it, and then afterwards, you grow. I think it's a decent lens, and for first podcast, for the first time I'm talking
sort of to myself with an imaginary audience, which I hope people actually listen to. And if you get to this point, wow, respect, congratulations. I think this is good for the first episode. I really think it's a great way to kind of get my thoughts out there. I'm going to start writing more. I'm going to start just being more expressive and then being more out there. It's important, and also just staying true to myself throughout the process. I think if nothing, just leaving like some documentations of my 20s for myself, for my personal sake, that would be already very valuable. So that's kind of where I draw the baseline. So I think either way, it's a very worthwhile project. I hope this is kind of relaxing and fun and interesting for you. And also, I would love to hear what you think. So if you can just shoot me a DM or just message me or whatever, like reginazye@gmail.com is my email. And on all my social media, @reginazye. Is my handle for Instagram, for Twitter, for Medium, for everything. And I'm going to build the website soon too. The website's not complete yet, but it will be very, very soon. I really hope you like it. And I just want to hear what you think. And also, I'd be happy to do Q&A. So if you have questions, send those to me as well. Oh, and also, if you want to know, if you want to hear more future episodes, subscribe. More to come, for sure. All right. Have a fabulous day or night. Depending on when you're listening to this. And yeah, that's it. Thanks. Bye.